God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
God bless you, my friends. May you have a wonderful day of service to the Lord. This is Pastor Larry. We are in the greatest battle of the ages. I believe that. We are facing a hostile world, but I am reminded of 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. If you are persecuted, please make sure it is really for the sake of the gospel, and not because you are obnoxious, insensitive, or self-righteous. Don't confuse how you are representing Jesus and the gospel with Jesus and the gospel. In far too many instances, a lot of Christians are not getting criticized for their biblical views, but for their pride and the way they disagree with the world. We are to contend for the faith without being contentious. I'm thinking of the Apostle Paul. He was certainly not a compromiser, but he did consider how people think and feel. In Acts chapter 16, we read about Timothy. Paul was thinking about taking Timothy along. His mother was Jewish, but his father was a Greek. Would people be able to relate to Timothy? In verse 3, we read, "Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him, because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek." Paul anticipated misunderstanding about Timothy, so Paul took steps to remove the cause of misunderstanding. A good thing to do when working with people. Friends, I am sure that you would agree we are living in a period of time which is absolutely unique. So the question naturally arises, is America closer now than ever before to judgment, and what lies ahead for America and the world? Once again, our guest is Jonathan Kahn. We're speaking about his new book, The Harbinger 2. Jonathan, it's so nice to have you on the show once again.
Oh, it's always a great blessing to be with you, Larry.
Well, I want you to know that we have been thinking and praying for you. I know you live in the metropolitan New York City, New Jersey area, which has been hard hit by COVID-19. So thank God that you are here with us.
Thank you. This is, I think the Lord, I'll put it this way, Larry. With what I've written about, from 9/11 onward, the Lord has me in the gate here, right. Outside New York City. I saw 9/11. My fiance, I know we weren't planning to talk about it, but let me say this. My fiance, who's my wife now, was supposed to be there at the World Trade Center at the moment it was hit. By last minute, her plans were changed. We had people in our congregation. So we're witnessing all these things firsthand. So I believe there's a reason for that.
Right, and your church is, what is the address of your synagogue or whatever? Tell us about that.
it's the Beth Israel Worship Center at the building's called the Jerusalem Center. It's right outside New York City. It's about 20 minutes in New Jersey. It's 11. If you're ever, you guys at the audience, if you're ever up in the North Coast, East Coast, we're there Friday nights, Sunday mornings. Right now we're online because of what's happening. But it's the Jerusalem Center, so it's 11 Railroad Avenue, Wayne, New Jersey. About 20 minutes outside New York City.
That's not too bad. Very good. Well, let's start with a little recap of our previous program. We may have some new listeners.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. This is where we're introducing, and I'm always blessed to be with Larry on this. The beginning of this, the release of the new book, and I've kind of waited, years, at least 8 years, and really more than that, to hold back on it. It's The Harbinger 2. I knew that there was always going to be a sequel to The Harbinger, but I couldn't do it until the Lord said, "Till it's the time. The time is now." The Harbinger 2 is revealing, first of all, one. All those things that I did not reveal in The Harbinger, that was just part of it, and that still is affecting us to this day. We just touched on some of them. Secondly, what has happened, The Harbinger has not stopped. America's progression to judgment has not stopped. The signs have not stopped. The manifestations have not stopped. And so up to this day, so the second part is what has happened since, where are we now? And the third part is what is happening right now. I've never written something that's right this second, And where is it all leading us? And also, what are the keys to know for the future? What lies ahead? What do you need to know? So that it's past, present, and future.
Amen. Well, as we get into today's interview, what about the mystery ship? What is the mystery ship, and how does that fit into the whole program?
Yeah, these are what we're talking about, what Larry and I are talking about now, is some of the unrevealed. And that is things that I didn't say but are affecting us now from the beginning. Well, last time we spoke about the biblical mystery of foundations, that on the day of judgment, what happens is God, he says, I will expose the foundations. And I'm going to bring the nation back to its foundation. I'm going to breaking down picture the World Trade Center broken down and it goes back to its foundation. Well, I'm going to do that, and it's going to happen in all different ways. And it's, God says, I'm going to, what I planted, like this nation, I'm going to uproot, or what I built, I'm going to break down. That's in the prophet. So that's the principle, that it all goes back to the beginning, the planting, the foundation. Now, we spoke last time about the mystery of America's military power, which is the Pentagon, and how when the Pentagon was struck, it was on the day the Pentagon was birthed on 9/11, and so it was struck on the day it was planted. But that's one thing, a warning of the removal of that power, military power, if we don't turn back. But what about the other power of America? The main, before military, it was America's economic power. America rose first economically, and that wasn't a sudden thing. It was a long, long rise. Where did it center? Where did the rise of America to world power, where did it center? It centered on, it began in New York City. New York City has always been the center of the rise of America's economic power, from Wall Street, financial to, economic to industrial to trade, all that. So you have that all there. Now, when did it all start? When was it founded? Well, because you got to look biblically for the Foundation Day. Well, the Foundation Day is when Henry Hudson, we learned this in school, Henry Hudson sails up the Hudson River, because it wasn't called that, and discovers Manhattan, and they begins the planting. What day? That's the birth of New York City, as we know. What day was it? It was September 11th. New York City was born on 9/11, and that's why it all happened on 9/11. And it went back, and remember we said the Pentagon, its military power was born on 9/11, America's economic power was born on 9/11, so long before we ever heard of this date, really, long before it became a day of calamity, the day of the tearing down, it was the day of building up, and that's the planting of America, and that's what you see in the Bible. And so the destruction returns to the Pentagon, which is the military power, which was born on 9/11, it returns to New York City, which was born on 9/11, and what does it particularly, what is attacked? It's the symbol of America's economic power, those two towering, monuments, the World Trade Center, to trade, to America's preeminence in the world. It comes collapsing down. And what was the first thing, the first thing that was ever built on that island when the Dutch came, it was on the same part, it was the southern end, that's where it all began, that's where 9/11 happened, but the foundation, but also the first structure they ever built was a trade center. So it all began with a trade center. It all comes down, and the warning here, as we're seeing, the warning that has not stopped, the Lord is saying, as he says in the prophets, if you don't turn back, if you don't come back, then what I have given you I'm going to remove. And what I planted, I will uproot. And that means America's economic power, if you do not turn back, you're going to lose that. And your military power, the superpower, is going to collapse. So those are gigantic warnings, classic signs of biblical judgment, and it was all there. 9/11 was already the day before it was 9/11.
Well, Jonathan, there was a scripture appointed to be read in the days leading up to 9/11. What was that scripture?
Well, here's the amazing thing, Larry. There's a mystery called the Parsha, and that is, and I'm sure you know, but a lot of people don't know, and that is there are these appointed words that are read every Sabbath. The scrolls are opened. This is from ancient times, when Jesus went into the synagogue, they opened the scrolls. The Jewish people have been opening the scrolls to their appointed words for every Sabbath, and they're appointed from ages past. So here's the thing. Just before 9/11, there was an appointed word. that and it was read all over the world. But now also keep in mind, you know, where are most Jewish people in America? New York. And so all over New York, this word was being chanted, was being said. Could it be a prophetic word? The fact that it was a point for that. Well, what was it? It was Moses' last words to Israel when he warns them. He says, first this, he says, if you follow God, God will make you the most blessed nation in the world, most powerful, most, you know, military power, all that. You'll be blessed, you'll be safe. Well, that all happened to America. You'll lend to many nations, you won't borrow. But then it says, but if you turn away from God, then all those blessings God gave you, he's going to begin to remove them. And if, for instance, you know, you were the head creditor nation, you're going to be the head debtor nation. Well, that happened to America as it fell away from God. But then it says, it gives specific signs of judgment that are on the nation that has turned away from God. And the thing is, now some of them, are, of course, I mean, of course, it's to Israel, but God can apply anything. And the thing is, so there, all these things are read, and some of them are, let me tell you some of the stuff that was read that just before 9/11, this is just days before 9/11 in New York City. It says in the appointed word, it says that the enemy, Moses saying, your enemy, if you turn away from God, your enemy is going to come from far away, a faraway land. He's going to come and he's going to attack you. He's going to be brutal. He's going to be merciless. And he's going to attack you at your gate. Now, we said last time, what was the gate of America? New York is the gate. See, so the enemy is going to appear at the gate. Well, you can translate it, the terrorists appear in New York City. It says that below you the ground will be iron. Now that interesting, because it can speak on many things, but interesting because steel is an alloy, is iron in an alloy form. So interesting because with 9/11, what happened to Ground Zero? The ground became literally steel below iron. It says there'll be copper in your sky. Well, literally above Ground Zero, and then of course there's an ancient application, but amazing because of the cloud that was over 9/11 was filled with copper. So you have those two things. It says in the middle of the, it says it will rain dust upon you. Well, that's exactly what happened as well. And it says you'll be groping in midday like a blind person. Well, exactly what happened in New York 9/11. Then it says the enemy will attack you at your gate, and then until your walls fall down. So the enemy attacks at the gate. That's New York City. But what is the wall of America? You know, we don't have a physical wall. What's the defense of America? What protects us? It's the Defense Department. It's the Pentagon. So you have it says the gate, and then it says until your wall falls down. First was the gate, then was the wall. And there's one other thing. I know we're going to talk about it, which has to do with a bird, but that's also in the scripture. But I will talk about. I know we'll get to that. That was also appointed.
Well, yeah. What is the mystery of the eagle, a big bird?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. One of the signs, of judgment, and this just shows you how real God is and how he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one of the signs is that of the eagle. When judgment came to the northern kingdom of Israel, it says that Assyria will come like the eagle. Says the eagle, an eagle comes and attacks. I mean, suddenly, ferociously, without knowing, it just takes its prey. Well, then when the destruction of the southern kingdom came, it came with Babylon. The prophet says they came like the eagle. Nebuchadnezzar came like an eagle upon the land. When the Romans came, Jesus foretold it. They literally, what was their image? What was their symbol? The eagle. They came like an eagle, and they came with an eagle. All right, so you got all that. Now, here's the thing. When on top of that, in the appointed scripture that Moses gave, that was appointed for the week of that led into 9/11, it says, Moses says, an enemy will come from far away, and he will come upon you like an eagle. So first of all, the terrorist came, sudden attack, but also he will come from the sky. Literally, the terrorist literally came with wings, but the Hebrew word is literally, it says, the Hebrew says swooping eagle. In other words, it's going to be an eagle coming down, swooping. Every single attack came as every plane was swooping down like an eagle. But now the image of that judgment, a nation under judgment, the eagle, that was actually manifested in ancient Israel when the Romans set up their staffs on the ruins of Israel. Well, could it be in America? On 9/11, the plane that began it all, the first plane that went into the tower, began it all, on the back was an image of the eagle, not just an eagle, it was an eagle swooping down as in the scripture of Moses. And the first plane that went into Washington, that went to the Pentagon, was an eagle swooping down on the back, as according to the appointed word for that was given for the week of 9/11.
Well, I'm just amazed. It's wonderful. But before we close this show, tell our listeners about the special offers that we have, the Harbinger 2 Uncensored.
Yes, listen, you're going to get, I know you guys are going to get the Harbinger 2, and we also, there are things in there that aren't anywhere else, but there's so much that I could not put in there, so I did what I did last time, and you guys have been amazing in wanting, in getting this, and that is the Harbinger 2 Uncensored, which is an eight DVD album, which will have the images, will have the mysteries, and will have things that are not only not in the book, but are nowhere else in the world. I mean, literally, you're going to see things, you're even going to see prophetic footage that is what before everything happened, it was all there. So it's going to be quite amazing, I believe. And it's eight about 1 hour DVDs where I'm sharing with you with the imagery and all that. So it's not going to be on Amazon. It's here on this ministry.
Well, I know the last time you had that eight DVD album, of course, for the other program, and it was amazing. People just ate it up, even though they had to go through it all. They loved it.
I still get stuff from your ministry saying send us more. So you guys are amazing. Yes, and you're going to be very blessed.
Yes. Well, Jonathan, you're a delightful guest, but the clock doesn't stop even for delightful guests. So we're looking forward to having you with us for another program. Thank you, dear brother, for being with us.
Thank you, Larry.
Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners how they can get our special offer.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our very special offer today is the new book by Jonathan Kahn titled The Harbinger 2. You can have your own copy for a gift of $25 if you live in the United States and $45 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. If you'd rather write and place your order, the address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, 73147. And you can order this fascinating book anytime on our website at swrc.com. We also have the new 8-DVD set with the same title. This includes 8 hours of teaching by Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. You can have a set of these 8 DVDs for a gift of $45. Better yet, get both the book and the DVDs for a gift of $65. That number again is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And visit us online at swrc.com and place your order there. Here again is Pastor Larry.
Crime and chaos have overtaken the streets of many American cities. The case of New York City is especially tragic. While Rudy Giuliani was mayor of New York from 1994 through 2001, all forms of crime in the city plummeted to a degree and at a speed that few thought possible. The crime rate continued to drop throughout the following years.
The solution was a focused form of policing that dramatically transformed law enforcement in this country for the better. Giuliani and then Police Commissioner Bill Bratton applied the broken window strategy, under which police enforced the law against minor crimes strictly in order to prevent major crimes. The theory behind the broken window strategy is that tolerating too much minor crime and disorder creates a permissive environment in which dangerous, violent crime becomes more likely. As a result, New York City streets became safer, cleaner, and more comfortable even at night. That is, until now.
Today, America's largest and most iconic city is experiencing an alarming surge in violent crime. Over the first half of 2020, homicides soared by 21% and shootings increased by 46% compared to the same period of time last year. Over the first 7 months of 2020, murder jumped 30%.
Amid the chaos, New York City's radical left mayor, Democrat Bill de Blasio, sided with the criminals over law enforcement, cutting $1 billion from the police department's budget. It's no coincidence that violent crime continued to surge. Under de Blasio's administration, New York City has also effectively done away with bail, a mindless policy that just puts criminals back on the streets.
This left-wing ideology extends beyond New York to other Democratic-controlled cities where there is an insidious effort to undermine law enforcement and support criminals. The left-wing billionaire, George Soros, is actively funding races for district attorneys across America, pouring millions of dollars into races that don't often make the headlines but have huge impact. Soros controls a vast network of influence that is working to elect candidates who share de Blasio's hostility toward law enforcement and sympathy for criminals. This will mean more crime and chaos, not more law and order.
George Gascon, for example, served as the district attorney of San Francisco from 2011 to 2019, a period during which the city's crime rate soared as he refused to prosecute numerous crimes. Now he is running for district attorney of Los Angeles with the backing of Soros' massive wallet to replace the competent incumbent, Jackie Lacey.
America's soaring crime problem, growing violence, and the destruction of property is no mystery. Every indication is that left-wing mayors, politicians, and city officials are on a rampage of mayhem and destruction. The uneducated population votes atheist, God-hating liberals into office, and the good people have to suffer from liberalism's failed policies. Vote for Biden and Harris, and you have become complicit in a nationwide disaster. It was only a matter of time before progressives showed their true Marxist intentions. The first few months of the protests started with a touch of sincerity. Protesters were rightly upset with the horrific murder of George Floyd. But now these radical groups want nothing less than to deconstruct the entire nation. To do that, they will have to rid themselves of some of the basic Judeo-Christian presuppositions prevalent in the founding of America. It was only a matter of time before they showed their true intentions and started burning Bibles.
Bible burning took place recently in Portland, Oregon. The actions of these protesters, along with those taking place systematically in nations like Communist China, are reminiscent of the Bible burning that took place in Nazi Germany during the reign of that wicked and evil man, Adolf Hitler. There are still many Hitlers around, and now they are even in America.
The radical agenda of the protesters promotes gender fluidity, in which a person determines their own gender. They decide that gender is based more on psychological factors than on biological factors. The Bible, however, limits gender to a binary design of either male or female, which is manifested at birth. Because of the fixity of gender, radical progressives will burn Bibles.
The radical progressives want to deconstruct the traditional nuclear family of a male and female committed together in marriage, who procreate and nurture children after their own kind. However, to the disdain of radical progressives, the biblical pattern God ordained is the traditional nuclear family. Since they do not want the traditional nuclear family to be the norm, radical progressives burn Bibles.
The radical progressive view of civil government is that it replaces God. Government officials use public policy and law to control every aspect of life, including religion. They favor big government, which means government has a messianic role. They believe that their goal of having a perfect society can only be achieved through political elites making draconian decisions for the masses regarding religion, wealth distribution, housing, education, and yes, whether or not the unborn live to be born.
The radical progressives attempt to utilize the belief in different races of humans. This is a convenient tool to pit one ethnic group against another. The biblical view is that there are not multiple races, but only one human race, expressed by various nations and ethnic groups created in God's image. This is another reason why progressives burn Bibles. They want to propagate critical race theory. incite class warfare, and spread various Marxist ideologies. Progressives burn Bibles because the Bible stands in the way of their desire to rule the world.
Progressives burn Bibles because they hate God, and they hate God's Word. They also hate those who love God's Word and use it for guidance, wisdom, and understanding.
Hi, this is Jerry Tyson from Southwest Radio Ministries with a very important and special appeal to you. The upcoming election is going to be the most important national choice in all of history since Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," back in Joshua 24:15. In 2 Chronicles 7:13 through 15, we read an interesting promise given directly from God to Solomon, the political leader of Israel, about 3,000 years ago. "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place." While we're not dealing with Israel and its temple, there is no doubt there is pestilence among us. Our nation is ready to be destroyed by the socialist and communist locusts who want to devour the America our generation was given. God asks us to do four things, and in return, He will do three. We must humble ourselves, pray, seek God's will above all else, and turn from our personal sins. If we do, God promises He will hear us, forgive us, and heal the land. He added the promise that He will be alert to hear our prayers. We're going to call this the My People Initiative. Between now and November, we will be reminding you not only of the need to vote with biblical values, but to stir your friends, your pastor, and congregation to not sit this one out. Consider the two candidates. Neither one is qualified to be your pastor, but only one is qualified to be your president. Start a new habit. Each time you thank the Lord for your food, remind Him of His promises in 2 Chronicles and dedicate yourself to being what He wants you to be so He can answer your prayers. Join us in the My People Initiative, and thank you.
Jesus told us to watch for the signs of His return. With our special offer today, you will not only hear the revelations and signs, you'll see them. Call right now and get Jonathan Cahn's new book, The Harbinger 2, or the 8-DVD set with the same title, or get both. Our toll-free number is 1-800-652-1144, and our website is swrc.com. Thank you for tuning in today. Tune in tomorrow on the Watchmen on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.